Tapping for Miracles with Margaret Lynch. Class 2, the second chakra.
Okay, welcome everyone. This is Margaret Lynch from margaretmlynch.com, and welcome to Tapping for Miracles. This is class 2, and today we're going to be talking about the second chakra. And I am joined again today, as I will be through this whole series, by Joan Kremen, who is spirit-guided energy healer, who is someone that I absolutely adore, and I'm very honored to have her very spiritual presence on the call because of the nature of the classes. So the way the class will work is we're going to do the tapping and my part of the teaching for about the first 70 minutes of the class. And then Joan's going to come on, and at that point we'll already be very ready for a break from all that tapping. And Joan will come on and do her energy healing, which for her feels rather like a blessing at each chakra. So today, focused on the second chakra, the healing will be a second chakra healing. And that'll last about 10 or 12 minutes, and then we'll have some time at the end where Joan and I will stay on the line if you have questions or comments or feedback for either of us. And I just want to say thank you to everyone for the amazing feedback people have given on the first class. It was very intense first class. Gotten a lot of feedback and wonderful feedback about Joan's healing meditation at the end. So Joan's contact information is on your class page. When you go to your class page for Tapping for Miracles, there is access there if you wanted to contact, either email or call Joan directly, either for healing or to say thank you or give some feedback on her part of it, which people have reached out and done that, which is wonderful. So I will be asking for feedback at different times in the class because I really need your feedback in order to tune into the energy of where we need to go and where the tapping needs to go. People often say that the words that I say when we do the tapping really resonates, really hits true to them. And that's because I get those words from you and your feedback and try to speak the truth for the people that are involved in the class. And so remember that when you speak on a class like this, you really do speak the truth for many, many people who are listening either later on the recording or that don't decide to speak up. So it creates a lot of healing. And I do hear from the majority of my participants cannot be live on these classes because of they're in different countries and different time zones. And I hear consistently an email from them that a participant like you who made a comment on this class touched them to their core and spoke their truth. So I know what I'm talking about. So I really appreciate your comments. And it really, really magnifies the healing for other people listening and for people who will listen later to the recording. I also said last time that because the subject is miracles, we're going to be exploring areas that touch the divine and conflicts around the divine infinite possibility. And that hits into areas of religion, religious training, religious background, religious wounding. And so there will be times when Joan and I use words like the universe or spirit or God or the divine, and we aren't trying to run this class from any particular religion. There's multiple religious backgrounds represented in this class. So what I recommend is that you choose the word that resonates most personally for you. It's our intention that we honor your religious background, the understanding of God that you have. So it's best to substitute during the tapping or even in the meditation the word that is of the God of your understanding, whether that's divine or spirit or God, because that's our intention for you. And you will actually have better results if you use the word that resonates more personally for you. I also just quickly wanted to thank everybody. You may have noticed when I marketed this class that I was donating a portion of everyone's class entry fee to Deb Miller, who works specifically with tapping with children with cancer in hospitals. And so you've all helped me make a big donation to Deb Miller to further her mission on the important work that she's doing with children who have cancer, who are in the hospitals with cancer and their families. And boy, do those families, those nurses, those doctors say that she is working miracles. And so I thought it would be a great combination in this class about miracles to create more miracles for the least of us children who are suffering with cancer. And it is her mission to take what she's doing in these hospitals in Mexico and bring that to the U.S. because to bring her unbelievable work to the U.S. will put it on a bigger spotlight and a bigger stage for both hospitals in the U.S. and the rest of the world. So very important for her mission to get out there. So thank you, everyone, for that. And Deb was very thrilled to have the donation for the children. So I'm going to start by reviewing the second chakra so that you can understand, you know, how to see it, quote unquote, how to see your second chakra, how to see how it works in your body. And then we're going to go into the issues at the second chakra, specifically around miracles. Last week, I also gave you access to a crystal bowl meditation that was, I believe it was the Touching Your Soul meditation that Reese created. And I will be adding more crystal bowl meditations as the class goes on. For the second chakra, because we're going to be talking about emotions and emotional balance, a great crystal bowl meditation to listen to after this class will be full energetic balance. And so I'll have Liz put up the crystal bowl meditation, if it's not already there, called full energetic balance. And that is meant to help balance your entire chakra system. And again, these are just 12 or 15 minute meditations. You listen to the crystal bowl music. It is going to affect every one of the chakras in your body and put you into a calm state, a healing state, a meditative state, and actually let you feel the way energy moves in your body. So particularly with the second chakra, the crystal bowl meditations can help support this. So last week we talked about the first chakra, which is all about everything solid in your life. Your body is solid and physical, as well as what grounds you in your belief systems, the beliefs that came from your tribe or your family, beliefs about how the world works, and even about your religion. The question at the second chakra, because it's about your physical body, is about survival. And we talked about the god of the second chakra being the god of the fight or flight. So as we move up into the second chakra, we go from the solid nature of our body to the fluid nature of our feelings. And so I'm going to read you some of the ways that Reese describes the second chakra. It's located in the pelvis or the lumbar region of the body, and it represents everything that flows and moves and attracts us and gives us desire. So in the second chakra, we sensually feel the world we come into contact with. This is our feelings before we even attached any meaning or quote unquote emotions to them. Just the actual feelings that we have in our body about what we desire, what attracts us, what we don't like, and just the pleasure of coming into contact sensually with the world. And so it's through this pleasure of contact with the world that we stimulate our passion, our desire for what we want in this life, what we want to do in each moment, our sexuality, as well as our power in one-on-one relationships. He says the second chakra is when you think of the flapping of a butterfly's wings. You know, he mentions a story about everything is so connected that the flapping of a butterfly's wings can trigger a hurricane on the other side of the planet, which is something that's said in the East. And so in the second chakra, it's as if you could feel both butterfly wings flapping and the hurricane and know that they both are influencing you in your life. Kind of an interesting way to look at it. So your second chakra is your ability to let the world in through your senses by feeling how the world flows to you and through you. So how aware of you are you of the people and the things in your life? How do they touch you? How do they feel when you touch them? How aware of you are of vibration, light, and sound of other people? How aware are you of your deepest desires and passions? The secondary aspect of these sensations are the emotions that come with them, which he says the sensation is a raw unit of feeling, and emotions are when those feelings come to consciousness from the sensations and trigger you to either move out or move inward. So your sensations drive your emotional behavior in positive and negative directions. So in the second chakra, again, this is where we feel our deepest needs. And based on those deepest needs and wants and desires and dislikes, you actually feel who you are. And that's why the second chakra is where the self-image lives. So when we feel our deepest desires and our deepest feelings, that's how we know what we want in life. And desire creates energy. So the second chakra, the reason why they call it also the power center, is because energy is meant to run and flow through the second chakra. Because when you really want something, it creates an energy of going out and getting it. Or when you really don't want something, it creates an energy of, no, I don't want that. And based on all of that, we develop our self-image. This is kind of the image of who I am, because this is how I feel. So Reese describes that a miracle in the second chakra is simply feeling a real feeling. Feeling what you really want, not based on survival mode. So again, last class we talked about survival mode. First chakra, survival. And defining a miracle as surviving. Defining the divine as, I hope God lets me live or doesn't send me to hell. And so a miracle in the second chakra is feeling what you want, not based on just survival. So why is this so difficult? Why is it so hard? It sounds easy to just feel what we really want. And most people walking around are not actually feeling what they really want and asking for it. They're actually thinking about what they can get and how to get it. And this is why. When you were young, and this is how we're going to direct some of the tapping, you felt what you really wanted. When we're children, we desire greatly to be seen, to be heard, to be loved, to be safe. If those deepest needs in you were not met, it's incredibly painful. And because of that pain, you will do a couple of things. You will make vows or decisions to not want that anymore because it's not safe or it's too painful. Or you will make a vow to never let yourself be vulnerable to that want, which is kind of the same thing. Or to always feel unworthy. Because when we feel unworthy, we're not going to ask for what we really want because we're unworthy. So if that need was unmet, your deepest true needs, the pain that that brings will cause you to make a decision. I'm not going to want that anymore. I'm not going to feel that anymore. Secondly, if you wanted that and were told that it was bad to want that, made to feel guilty in the eyes of your parents or in the eyes of God, which often mix together, right? You will similarly refuse that feeling because you become the judge and say, it is shameful and wrong to want that. I can't just ask for that. No. And you will refuse to honor your deepest feelings and needs. So what we do instead is we go up in our head and we figure out a way to get what we can get to survive. So we go after our basic survival needs. You know, I don't like this job, but I gotta be in it because I need the money. This guy doesn't treat me that well, but you know what? He's helping with the bills and he's kind of loving sometimes. Okay. This money isn't that great, but I cannot take any risks. So it's good enough. Deepak Chopra actually says that it's more difficult to get out of a relationship or a bad job or a bad money situation if it's actually meeting your basic survival needs in some way. It's harder to break away because we've been conditioned. We can't really get what we deeply, deeply want. And so we get what lets us survive. So we go over and around and up and beyond what we're really feeling to make sure that we survive, and we do it in a way that will be accepted. We actually create a new self-image, Reese calls it the virtual self, based on all the coping mechanisms around not being able to get our needs met. So what happens in our life, you won't desire or feel the need or ask for what you really want. So when it comes to miracles, the miracle that you're asking for has come from your mind or come from your survival. Now, as Deepak Chopra teaches, the God of the second chakra, so second level spirituality, second chakra, the God of the second chakra, very different from the God of the first chakra, is about achievement and reward or punishment. If you work hard, God will reward you. So achieve, work really hard, a reward will come or a punishment. And so what happens with a lot of us super achiever type people, work, is when the reward isn't there, the programming says, I mustn't deserve it. Because when you work hard, God will give you a reward. So this becomes the focus as opposed to honoring your deepest needs. We go over and around and use our mind to figure out ways to somehow get close to what we want, but it's more based on survival. And we build a self-image on that. This is who I am. I'm an engineer, and this is what I do. I don't really love it, but it's who I am, and it's what I do. Okay? And by the way, that was who I was, an engineer in a job that was okay, met all my survival needs, but it wasn't what I wanted. So when we can't feel our deepest needs, which means we're not asking for, because by feeling your needs, the universe hears an asking quality from you. You can't ask for what you really want in the form of a miracle, and you can't receive it because you can't receive a miracle that's based on a want, on a feeling, on a desire that you have judged and dismissed. So again, Reese says that is why a miracle at the second chakra is feeling a real feeling, feeling what you really want to have, to do, to be, to experience in this world. Whether you're thinking about a relationship or your business, what is it that you really want? How do you really want to feel? How do you really want to be out there, be seen, be giving, be doing? Because when you feel that, you now will be able to feel the miracles that are happening in your life all the time and receive them. So, how are we going to get to all this with tapping? My notes here. What we're going to do is we're going to go back again to the age of 5 or 6 or 7. And I do want you to take some notes on this because there's going to be some really important aha moments for you in here. The second chakra, Carolyn Mace, who is a best-selling author and visionary in the energy medicine world and has been for years and years, she says that 90%, 95% of the problems that we have across all humanity are first and second chakra issues. So this second chakra is an unbelievable center for you to work with far beyond this class. That's why in this process, I want you to take some notes, because you're going to see some of the vows that you made and some of the things that you did instead, because you couldn't get your basic needs met, so that we can start to unwind that and bring you back into contact with what you really want, so that you can look at yourself and go, this is who I am. You know, Reese says, you can't find who you are. You can't think who you are. You can't think your life purpose. You can only feel it. You have to feel who you are. So the second chakra really has it going on in this. So here's the first exercise. I want everyone to take a nice deep breath. And we're going to do some visualizing. So most people like to close their eyes, or if you like to leave them open, that's okay. But I want you to let your mind, your unconscious mind, bring up a picture of you, maybe around 5 or 6, or maybe even younger. Sometimes people bring up a picture that looks more like 3 years old. I just want you to let your mind paint that picture for you. And it's okay if it feels like you're guessing or you're remembering a photograph. That's okay. And I just want you to imagine that your mind could even show you what you're wearing in that picture. You could even see what you're wearing there. And just notice how old you are in this picture. So I want you to really tune into this little child and just notice, how does this child look, this younger version of you? How does he or she look? And now I want you to put the parents or the caregivers in the picture. And I want you to step in and ask this little child, what do you really want? What are you wanting from your parents? And I want you to notice if the child just wants to be safe, or if the child just wants to get away, or even if your childhood was warm and loving, if there was some aspect where the child wanted to be seen more. Because at this age, what you really want is to be seen, loved, treasured, valued, heard. And so there's no set of parents that are perfect. Even the most loving parents can't do everything right. And so in some way, I want you to see for you, what was that unmet need? And I want you to notice if the child has already coped and is telling you, nope, I don't want anything from them. No, I just can't wait to get older. Or if they've already coped by saying, I just want to make mommy and daddy happy. I just want to be good. Because sometimes at this stage, the child won't even admit to what they really, really wanted. And so I want you to notice, before we do some tapping, if you were to say to that child, well, why don't you ask for that? What would happen if you asked for that? And I know you've got that information, so I want you to note that down. What would the child tell you? Why don't you ask for that, little one? What would the child say? Oh, no, I would never ask for that because. What would happen to them? And this can be a range from being beaten to being embarrassed, humiliated, to being ignored, to being just looked at funny. So there's some pain not only with the unmet need, but also if they were to ask. And just see if the child also has a sense of, what would God say about that asking? Just see if there's an aspect already at this age about the religious programming, about what God would say in the mind of that younger child. And now, again, before we do the tapping, I want you to capture one more piece of information, which is you're seeing what the child wanted, or maybe we haven't revealed it yet. You're seeing why they won't ask, and sometimes they'll reveal the information there, the consequences. Now I want you to look as the adult. What did the child do instead? What did the child do to cope instead? Did they take care of everyone else? Did they act invisible and dissociate? Did they become very quiet so no one would see them? Did they become very angry and embattled? Did they become extremely mind-focused, learning and learning and achieving that way? Did they become perfectionistic? Because what the child did instead, you are still doing to avoid your deepest needs. So I want you to capture that down again. This is full of insight and work for you to do in an unfolding way. We don't just get this done once. This is a very deep core issue. It's not just something that we did from a trauma. It becomes a vow, a way of acting that becomes an unconscious, undeniable truth within you. And I want you to see here that the child made a choice to do something instead that never really met the core need. It let the child survive, didn't it? So I'm going to allow you to *7 if you want to give me some feedback on any aspect of this picture. And I really want to focus, we're going to do some tapping first on the very first question. What does a child want? And what's the feeling in that child about that want or about the lack of that want?
Margaret, my name's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. What came up was my little girl wanted to be a part of their life. And when asked what would happen if the little one asked for that, the little one said that they would say, "I already am." But they wouldn't be telling the truth, and I would be made wrong. And what did the child do instead? The child became a helper and an achiever and decided to be part of, or tried to be part of their happiness to get their attention. So I guess the overall thing is to belong.
Okay. So if the child were to ask, the child intrinsically sensed the incongruity of their answer. She knew that they were going to say, "Oh, of course you're included." And that wasn't going to ring true.
Right.
So instead, she made a decision to become an achiever. Okay.
And a super,
yeah. And we call that like a super perfectionistic helper, right? I'm going to help, and I'm going to help in a world-class perfect way.
Yeah, I really see where my codependent things come up.
Yeah.
Because it's a coping.
And so these vows that we make to be a perfect helper and perfectly achieving never really meet the need. And they actually, they become, this is how addictions get created. They never satisfy the real need. Mm-hmm. Going forward, instead of asking for a miracle of feeling loved and belonging and totally connected to people, which is part of your calling at the second chakra for you, to feel really connected and loved and belonging, the miracles that you would ask for would be opportunities to be perfect and to support other people and to be a helper. So we're not asking for the that we want. So thank you for that. And mm-hmm. there was someone else who started to talk?
Margaret?
Yes.
When you said that you could go back younger, I've been doing the 5, 6, and 7, and I realized that this started at 3. So by 5, I was already coping. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that before. But my thing was to be seen as good enough because I'm a girl.
Okay.
And I wouldn't ask for that for the same reason that she just said, because they would disavow that I was, they would say, oh, you're being seen. We know that you're a girl and that we know you're good enough.
Right.
And yeah, what came from that, I'm sorry, was I became invisible. Okay. I had to become invisible.
And so each of us will deal with it a different way, right? But so for you, became more invisible. And so I would even say she wanted to be seen as she really was, because as a girl was something she learned. Oh, I'm different because I'm a girl and somehow not good enough. So to be seen as she really was, for who she really was, as a beautiful miracle to be treasured, right? We see how some people treat their kids, right? Look at my gorgeous, beautiful children, right?
Yep.
We know that that's out there, and that's not what we had.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the basic desire for a child in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 age. So instead, became invisible. And how the miracle you're asking for at the second chakra is miraculous opportunities to be invisible. And I'm sure miraculous coincidences have shown up for you that allow you to play that out.
They have.
Which is a strange way of using miracles. And as I said earlier, if a miracle came and appeared right next to you that was completely aligned with being totally seen, or for the first person, totally belonging and loved and connected, you would not notice that miracle. You wouldn't be able to see it or let it in, because it's a miracle around something you do not let yourself want anymore. Good. So just, I'll have one more. There's one more person who wants to give feedback.
I will.
Tapping. Sure. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Diane.
Hello.
Can you hear me, Margaret?
I can hear you. Sure.
Okay. Well, I grew up in with parents that were from Germany and fled the war, and I was very stifled in my childhood. And let me back up. I don't remember a lot of my childhood. I just don't remember. I see pictures, and I've talked to my mom about it. I don't talk to my dad much. And I know that early on, at a very, very young age, the bond between my mom and I was broken, because I was the apple of my dad's eye. And, you know, and he actually raised his hand once at my mom for some reason, telling her to back off of me. And I don't, that must have been at a very, very young age. So, you know, I thought that I've gotten past this, you know, when my mom and I have talked about it, but I think that what I didn't get was a lot of love, and I think that I couldn't ask for that because my dad would get mad. And, you know, of course, never feeling good enough and of wanting to please your parents, and I think what happened to me is I became very mind-focused. I really went within, became an achiever, and then later on I was very, very rebellious, looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
And my life is such as, I've dealt with addictions for many, many years and have jumped around from business to business, never being successful and maybe being on the edge of success, but not allowing myself to be.
Yeah, so when we go into achiever mode, if you've heard the profile teachings that I provided with this class, the profile that is called the knowledgeable achiever, which is very achievement oriented, has the most restricted second chakra. Mm-hmm. Second only really to the thinkers who, if when they're really got a lot of fear and they're out of their body, very restricted second chakra. When we live up in our head, the downside of that is the second chakra, which is where your real desires and wants and feelings are, has tremendous amount of energy that's supposed to run through it, the energy to get you to go out and create. So instead of, again, creating miracles, asking for miracles, feeling all the miracles that you want and receiving them, we make judgments about it and we achieve from the mind. Okay.
Yeah.
So we end up doing a lot of going from different places, looking for love in all the wrong places. Deep inner need that we have that we're still not really willing to own, to honor, and to ask for. And that is the key at the second chakra.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing that we do at the second chakra is where I said we might make a vow to never be vulnerable. We also make vows to get even. So when there's a lot of anger connected to being seen or loved, we will often make a vow to get even somehow, which means we'll battle somehow our worthiness and our deserving. So sometimes at the second chakra, we see this battle over, am I worthy? Am I deserving? We're going to do some tapping for this and see where we can take the child. So what I'm going to do now is we're going to actually tap for this child. And I'm going to voice what you guys gave me and also, you know, more things to hit the broader experience. And then we're going to look at the picture again and see how our mind shows us what's changed there and what there is to learn. So when we do tapping for the child in this technique, I just go right to the tapping points. So I usually start with the eyebrow point and tap all the way down, but you can tap through the points that you like to use and really any random format that you like to use them in. You really can't do it wrong with tapping as long as you're tapping enough of the points, four or five, to stimulate your energy system. Okay, so I just want you to tune back into that child again, and we're going to do some tapping for the child. Okay, and so repeating after me, there I am, all alone, even with my parents there. I so wanted to be seen, and it hurt that I wasn't. I so wanted to be treasured, and it was so painful that I wasn't. I so wanted to be loved, and it just felt like I wasn't. I so wanted all of these things. Deeply, deeply longed for them. A deep aching longing, but they never came through. I never got what I really wanted. And I learned very young, it wasn't safe to ask. It absolutely was not safe to ask. I would be told I was wrong. I would be ignored. I would be hurt. Or worse. It wasn't safe to ask. I was just a small child. But I already knew. It wasn't safe to ask. So I didn't. But it hurt. And I felt it. And I knew what I wanted. I so wanted to be loved. I so wanted to belong. I so wanted to be seen as a miracle. as a beautiful little energy. Back then, I could feel who I was. I wanted to share it. I wanted it to be seen. I wanted to see me reflected in their eyes. The real me. But it never happened. I wasn't seen. I wasn't treasured. I wasn't safe. And I knew even then, it was pointless to ask. I totally honor this old story. In all of this programming in my second chakra, in how I coped as a child, I needed to survive. I honor how that little child in me coped. All alone. I totally honor this old story. And I can still feel it. And take a nice deep breath. And I want you to just look at the picture again. And see how the child looks to you now. Sometimes we'll see more emotion in the face of the child because we've actually voiced and tuned into all of this emotion. Or sometimes the child will suddenly make eye contact with us in the picture and really express that the child feels seen and loved. But around like that, you've probably never voiced before. And so it can also bring up a lot of sadness and intensity, which is a good reason to tap through that round again. So you can star 7 if you'd like to give me some feedback again on that.
I'd like to ask a question.
Sure.
What's happening, I'm getting the first and the second chakra confused, or at least I'm getting interesting insights, and thank you for that. When we started doing the relationship on the second chakra, I really felt there was, you know, I did allow my being and everything was really, really good, except that the piece that was missing, I didn't have a mother element over there, which was still okay because I still was like 90% in where I wanted to be energetically the way I see it right now. But what happened is that my father was really the center of that world. And then at the age of 13, he passed away, and that's where I made a vow that I don't want this life at all. So is my father being really like a god to me, so that he's really the representation of the god to me in the first chakra? And so am I dealing with this abandonment issue, as you were referring to the profiles before, in the first chakra or the second? So I just need some help here.
Sure. Abandonment is going to be a second chakra issue. Okay.
And so if the vow is like, I don't want to live, I don't want anything at all, so it's still a second chakra then.
Yeah. It's that this pain is too great, that I am abandoned still. Right.
Right. So, and I don't want this life. So it's the second chakra. I just wanted to clarify.
And it does get a little confusing with the chakras because everything's always moving up, so they can tend to overlap. And certainly we can hear the mind coming in and analyzing it. And the mind does come and make a judgment about it and then says, okay, I am kind of a victim forever because I've got abandonment issue that's never going to go away.
Right. Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And so just remember to star 6 and mute your phone after you give feedback. And so anyone else, how does the child look now and how is that round for you?
Hi, Margaret. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I had a really, really emotional round here. And what I got coming up was because I had my thing was that I just wanted to be not judged and not laughed at. And then when I was studying this round, then I got a feeling that I will always be second. Like, I can never be number one because I have an older brother. And I think that has something to do with it. So I was like, I am not allowed to surpass him. I'm not allowed to surpass somebody who is higher up in the rung than me. So that was what my thing was.
Yeah, and so what happens is that as a child even, we will feel that natural feeling, you know, especially if you've got a lot of that charismatic leader energy in you from the profile. Yeah. We will feel the second chakra is our lower self. There's no morality there, right? So we will feel that desire. I want to be the best. I want all the attention. I want to be on top. And what we are told is that is bad. Yeah. That is wrong. That is selfish. That is breaking the family rules. And so somehow this deepest desire, which, by the way, yes, it could call you into a life of being a terrible person who hurts other people. And in its highest aspirations, it can call you to being a type of person who lives an unbelievable life. Okay, so this is a feeling that can come up through your energy system and be used many different ways, but at the feeling level of, I want to be seen, I want to be a star. No judgment there, just the natural desire and feeling coming up. But when we're told, that's not okay to have that feeling. Now your mind has to decide, how am I going to somehow pretend that that's not what I want and go around the system to somehow get a little bit of attention?
Right. Yeah, and that's kind of going into manipulation. And then also now that I'm trying to build a business, it's like, no, you can't. No, you can't. So I've kind of locked that whole package out of myself, because if I go there, then I will, you know, maybe start compensating in very, you know, powerful ways. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so we learn that we should feel guilty about wanting to be a superstar, about wanting to be better than everybody else. You know, if I didn't have in me at my second chakra something that came from somewhere, because I came from a family of eight, that drove me to not just be a practitioner working with five or six people a week, but to do this, to put myself out there in a big way, I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't be affecting thousands of people with what I feel is my life purpose to teach. So instead of judging that drive, we let that real desire and passion be there. It will bring up so much energy running through your system that will allow you to go for it. Now, we have a consciousness, so you could decide, I'm going to take that real desire and I am going to step on everybody on the way up. Or you can use your consciousness to say, I feel that real desire. And as a charismatic leader, I am going to go and create something that's never been seen before that's going to help everyone on the way up. Okay?
Right.
I want to take a lot of people with me. So if we don't judge the basic desire, then it runs the energy up through our system. But what you learned there, and this is really big for you because this is part of your drive to create in this world and to be bigger than life, that it's not okay to have that desire.
Right.
So whatever behaviors you did instead are probably the exact behaviors that are dogging you in your business.
Right. Yeah. I went into my emotional intelligence specialist and became really weak. That's what I did. So.
Yeah. Because that's what my family, that was the role I could play to somehow get power maybe a different way.
Yes.
So really important to see there for more processing. And so anyone else, that was great feedback. Thank you. We have time for one more person before we do some more tapping. We want to start opening up our feelings at the second chakra and do some positive tapping.
Margaret?
Yes.
My child started crying with me,
which
I thought was interesting. And at some point in there, I realized my parents were actually doing the best that they could.
Okay. So you released that stuck emotion around this. All that sadness that's stuck, because remember, this child, that's your inner child, right? So this is at your core.
Yeah.
You know, we do inner child work. You're looking at your inner child. the holding on to that sadness, which of course has never been a way to release it before, somewhere down in our energy system in the second chakra, there's a sort of a victim feeling because there's so much hurt still there.
Yeah.
So to move through that sadness is very, very powerful. So good for you in starting to actually see that perspective. Okay. So remember that as we worked up and around and found ways to survive by being invisible or playing it small or creating a self-image around being the soft one or the weak one or the angry one, as we did that, we lose the ability to feel and honor those deepest needs, to know ourselves through those deepest needs, and to look at them without any judgment. So when it comes to miracles, we can't actually feel the miracles that are lining up around us, and we certainly can't receive them because they're not actually the miracles we think we're asking for. We're in our coping mechanism still as adults. So we're going to do a round of tapping that will be a more positive round to open some of this up. And this is kind of a round that you could probably use every day, especially when you've got a really strong, knowledgeable achiever where you've really lived from your mind and think your feelings or think your life or think your self-image. Okay. So karate chop point. This time we'll start on karate chop point. Even though I'm seeing this whole picture, and it's easy to judge what happened, I'm just going to honor this moment of consciousness. I deeply love and accept myself and my feelings. Even though the truth is, I didn't get my deepest needs met. I see it all now. And I coped instead. I survived instead. I honor this old story and the power that it's had in my life. And I'm open to healing this conflict that's been stuck at my second chakra, that's been closing down and squeezing my second chakra, that's limited the energy flow up from my second chakra, that's limited my passion, my desire. I deeply love and forgive and accept myself. And I am open to honoring my deepest feelings and desires. And tapping through the points. I see it all now. I see my deeper unmet needs. Kind of hard to admit that I'm still that needy. And actually, those basic needs are pretty simple. But I've learned not to feel them. I made a vow to refuse to feel them. That it wasn't safe to feel them. That it wasn't smart to feel them. I figured out what I could do and be instead. I honor that now. But it was a coping mechanism. The truth is, I am more than I pretend to be. I feel so much more than I admit to. I want miracles at such a deep level. Miracles way beyond just surviving. I want miracles way beyond money, success, and career. I want deep, rich, fulfilling miracles. Miracles aligning with my deepest desires. All of them without judgment. I want all kinds of miracles because I have all kinds of needs. My most passionate needs, my selfish needs, and my highest aspirations. The need that I feel to give in this world. I'm open to honoring them all without judgment. As I judge those needs, I disconnect from miracles. So I'm now open to feeling my second chakra feelings. The deepest wants I've hidden for so long. And by feeling them, asking them to get met, asking for miracles to align for me, to align with those deepest feelings. Receive miracles. Miracles that are happening around me. Feeling them and receiving them. Letting miracles flow through me. Like a beautiful wind. Right through my second chakra. Thrilling me, energizing me. That is the miracle of my feelings. That is the miracle of my second chakra. I totally honor my feelings. I totally honor my second chakra. And I'm now open to feeling miracles. My deepest desires are beautiful and divine. I so deserve miracles. And take a nice deep breath. And just see how your energy feels after that tapping round. Sometimes we actually feel the energy moving in our second chakra. Because honoring and opening ourselves up to feeling will actually create more space there. Remember that each chakra, as Reese teaches it, is a level of consciousness. So your second chakra is a level of consciousness. And when we refuse or ignore or don't honor our feelings, we still have that level of consciousness. We're just saying, I'm not going to be aware of that. And that squeezes down the amount of energy that we allow to run through our second chakra, the energy that we need to flow up through our system to have excitement and passion and enthusiasm. The energy that we need to be aware of miracles that are standing right next to us, that are actually aligned with what we want. You know, everyone knows someone who chooses the wrong partner over and over and over, right? We all know somebody like that. And then they meet somebody who is wonderful and sweet and perfect for them, and they go, yeah, I'm not that interested in them. And we look at that and we go, oh my God, there is a miracle standing right in front of you and you cannot receive it because this person is in their pattern, right? So I want you to think of yourself that way as you open up your second chakra to feeling that there are miracles unfolding all around you that you haven't been able to feel, receive, honor, because they're aligning with the wants and desires that you have judged, that you have dismissed. Really important. So I'll take a little bit of feedback on that last round if you want a star 7. And then we're going to move on to the lovely Joan and her chakra blessing. So Annie, you can star 7 to unmute if you want to give me some feedback on that. And certainly if the first round was intense for you, you want to do some more tapping because you might see that there's in that old event, that child that we saw, there's a lot more tapping to do. And then that last round that we did will actually be even more effective for you if you've cleared more of the intensity.
Margaret?
Yes.
That one was incredible. A couple of things came to me. One was I had a trauma happen when I was 5 years old in first grade that reinforced what I got and when I was 3. And I didn't realize until now that that's what had gone on, that the thing happened at 3 and that at 5 it reinforced it, that made me even more important to be invisible.
Yeah.
And by second grade, I was so introverted and I was so unhappy in school because of it, because I didn't know how to be the way I really was.
Yeah.
But so just getting that connection and seeing it, because I've worked on the trauma a lot, but I couldn't figure out why it still wasn't letting me get beyond it. And it was because of the stuff that came before that.
Yeah. And, you know, there's always two aspects in a trauma. There's the actual trauma, and we can do great tapping on that, on the emotions and the pain, and make it so the trauma is dimmer and feels further away. But there's also the decision that you made coming out of that trauma, or the vow. I'm never going to let myself be seen again. I'm never going to let myself be hurt again. I'm never going to let myself feel my desire to connect with other people. And that vow has your entire will behind it. So it's not just an event. It's become the undeniable truth of the way the world is and the way I am. And you put your entire will behind it, your third chakra will. And so this is where, by law of attraction, we can recreate these patterns, and then we battle it through again and we say, see, I knew it. This was going to happen. So your will is incredibly powerful. And that's why sometimes we can tap on a trauma, but the effects of it are still in our life, because we've actually made kind of a powerful vow to do things a certain way. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It makes perfect sense.
And so
what I'm wondering is if it's possible to release enough of the vow to get beyond it. Because that's what I want.
Yeah. And so, again, you know, what Reese teaches about vows is we don't just tap them away in one session. You've taken your entire life to build up evidence and convince yourself, not hundreds of times, millions of times, that you were correct in making that vow. So it takes what he calls the positive use of your will to work with it. So what we do is we make a positive goal. Instead of, you know, we don't make a positive vow, but we make a goal. It is now my goal to allow myself to start reaching out or to take baby steps towards being seen. A goal with the positive use of your will around, this is what's happening now, right? I'm putting my foot down with myself. That's what will lighten over time the habit, which is the vow becomes the undeniable truth within you.
Mm-hmm.
The positive use of your will around a positive goal like this, a life-affirming goal. This is who I really am. That vow went against that. That's what will lighten a vow.
Okay. What okay. I do see is that in my 30s, I started to step beyond this vow of being seen. I was really shy up until my early 30s, and I just went, no, I don't feel shy inside. I need to let go of this. And right. I started to let go of that at that point.
The chakras run in 20-year cycles.
Okay.
And so usually right around the 40s or the 50s is where people are hitting the seventh chakra and they have a midlife crisis. And they go, oh, my God, I'm still living my life according to my parents or my trauma. And so you may have gone through the chakras a little more quickly if you were introspective or doing self-development. And suddenly, you know, in your 30s, you may have had that seventh chakra moment where you looked down with consciousness and says, wait a minute. I'm not going to do this anymore. And we take a big step, you know, or I'm going to start doing things differently because I'm letting go of this old event. So we take really big steps, and all of those steps are your, you know, as part of your journey. So you want to really honor what you did in your 30s. Good for you.
Thank you for that. And the good thing is that I'm in my 50s now, so I've already gone through the 20-year cycle again.
Yay. Yeah. Pretty much the people who sign up for my classes are typically at that seventh chakra awakening, and lots of people are in the self-help movement now. So when I say, let's look at the programming, we go, yeah, I'm still, oh my God, my father is still controlling me from the grave. And we say things like that. And so this is your chance, right? Some people go through the midlife crisis and they buy a Porsche and then they're done. So they have to wait another 20 years to have a chance of a spiritual awakening unless some major thing happens in their life. Right. So wonderful. Thank you for having me go on a little roll there. And just notice that when you've had a shutdown second chakra, you might really feel some funky energetic and physical things happening around your second chakra. So if you suddenly have something physically happening in that part of your body, yes, it's probably connected, because starting to let more energy move through your second chakra, that'll often process through your whole system. Okay, so doesn't mean you shouldn't seek out support, depending on what it is, from different professionals, but it's usually connected. Okay. So we're going to move on to Joan, and I'm going to introduce Joan a little bit, and then Joan will do her healing for about 10 or 12 minutes, and then there will be time to ask some more questions or comment at the end, understanding that after a process like this, sometimes it's very difficult to come back and sit up and talk and give feedback, and that's okay too. So we are going to be bringing on Joan, who is a spirit-guided energy healer, and she is, you know, it's funny, I talk often about Rees and the Rees Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine, his school, which is a 3-year program, and the head teacher there is Lisa Campion, who's an unbelievable healer and psychic in her own right, and her quote about Joan is that she said, I am in awe of her heart chakra. So she did some work with Joan, a healing with Joan at the school, and said, you know, I'm in awe of your heart chakra. And that rings very true for me as well. You feel her heart and her spiritual presence, and I'm sure you'll feel it in her presence on the call and the sound of her voice. And I mentioned if you can read more about Joan on my website, but you could also take a look at the book, another one of Carolyn Mace's books called Invisible Acts of Power. Invisible Acts of Power, which is about the healing of service and generosity all the way through the chakras, you'll actually hear about Joan in there. And she doesn't mention Joan specifically, but you will hear the energy of Joan in that book. Because in addition to running her healing practice, Joan gives of her time every week by volunteering in nursing homes. And she didn't know I was going to say this today, but to me, this is a profound part of the spiritual and healing presence that she is. She brings her healing, and she brings her healing presence to the sick, the lonely, the forgotten in nursing homes. And her reward is often a smile or a squeeze of the hand. And sometimes she hears the words, thank you, from somebody in the nursing home who the nurses will say has not spoken a word in months and months and months. And when Joan talks about this work that she does, again, with people who are very sick, who are very alone, who don't have family, who are just in nursing homes, she loves it. This is what she loves to do. This is part of the joy of her life. And so I wanted to share that today. And geez, it makes me want to cry because Joan is just an exceptional heart. And so what we get with her on this call is her incredible healing presence along with her words. So that being said, before I choke myself up about you, Joan, Joan is going to be speaking, as I said, from her personal faith. And but in this class, we have many, many different religious backgrounds. So please feel free to focus on the words or use the words in your own mind that reflect your personal faith, the God of your understanding. And just like the tapping that we did in this class, her healing and this blessing is intended in going out to, by the power of intention, everyone hearing the sound of Joan's voice, whether it's in this moment or in a later moment where you're listening on the recording, know that it is in Joan's intention that this prayer, this blessing, this energy that she's sending out will touch you as well. And so during the blessing, you might feel a great sense of peace. A lot of people did email me that they did feel, you know, that they're not, don't usually get this kind of an energy healing, but they felt a lot of energy moving in their body. You might feel very light, you might feel very sleepy, or you might feel nothing at all. And every experience is perfectly wonderful. Joan is going to be inviting you to travel with the energy and receive this blessing. And all you need to do is to simply be open to that by holding an intention of yes in your body, in your energy system. Yes, I want to receive this. And if you're not comfortable with that, if you're just curious about the process, you can just sit and listen. So again, last about 10 or 12 minutes, right, Joan? And then we will have questions. So I'm just going to unmute you, Joan, there, because I think I have you muted. Oh, hang on. Everyone muted. Okay. And Joan, you can take it away.
Oh, thank you, Margaret. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Spirit Guided Energy Blessing Meditation, and also to the people in future time who will listen to the recording. Welcome. I invite you now to travel with me as we share the second chakra energy blessing and invite you to be open to receiving miracles. So let's begin by taking three deep breaths. First deep breath, inhale as deeply as you can through your nose. Hold the breath. Exhale slowly through the mouth. Second deep breath, inhale through your nose. Hold it. Exhale through your mouth. And a third deep breath. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale slowly through your mouth. And relax. Now visualize a beautiful circle of light. And I invite you to step with me into the center of this circle of light and see the light all around us. Infinite Spirit God of love and light, I ask that you bring your golden healing light around us all and close the circle in protection and love beneath our feet. I ask all of our highest guides and angels to be present with us, our whole divine team, our I Am presences to draw close. I ask all the ascended masters and the legions of light to be with us. And I ask all the archangels and especially Michael the Archangel to stand guard with us forever. And allow me, with a humble heart, to be a channel for healing for you today. As we stand in the center of the circle of golden healing light, I invite you to bring this golden light through your crown chakra. The color at the crown chakra is violet, just at the top of your head. And as you allow this beautiful golden light to travel slowly and gently down through your body, touching in with your third eye chakra, the color indigo at the center of your forehead, and onwards down through your throat chakra with the beautiful color blue, and allow it to travel down through your heart where the color is green, and on down through your solar plexus chakra where the color is yellow, gently floating downward through your sacral chakra and on down to the first chakra, which is red at the base of your spine. This is your root chakra. Feel the connection to the earth in your body. The light of your soul, the miracle of who you are within each and every one of us, has been ignited. See that light grow brighter and stronger. And I invite now Saint Germain to be present with us. And I invite you to gather up any old, worn-out beliefs that you would wish to let go of about not being safe. And let's just hand them to Saint Germain, who will transmute them to a safe place. And as we let go and see them float away with Saint Germain, take a deep breath. And see your first chakra open with the beautiful red light and the golden healing light. Here we have the courage to move forward with light and faith, where we nurture self-acceptance. Yes, we are worthy. We are safe and secure and supported by God of our understanding. We express our individuality in a divine, miraculous way. Gently and slowly now, let us draw this beautiful, miraculous flame upwards until it rests just below your navel at your second chakra, sacral chakra. And once again, I invite you to gather all the worn-out beliefs of shame and guilt that you may have about your needs not being met, and hand them to Saint Germain, who will transmute them to a safe place. We are letting go of what we don't need anymore, what doesn't work for us anymore. So just see those old beliefs float away with Saint Germain, safely. And take a breath. And with this golden healing light, we pray. Infinite Spirit God of love and light, we ask that we now have the courage to own and step into our power of infinite possibility, into the miracle of who we are, as we acknowledge and communicate our needs in a way that honors and respects ourselves and others. And just settle here for a little while and feel the warmth with the gentle flame. And slowly allow this flame to travel back up through your third chakra in the solar plexus, on up through the fourth chakra, and feel the warmth of your heart connecting with the green light of the heart, and on up to your throat, combining with the beautiful blue light, and on up to your sixth chakra, where the color is indigo at the center of your forehead. And out through the crown chakra, where the color is violet. See this golden light disperse once again and become beautiful golden raindrops drifting slowly down around your whole body in a blanket of protection and love. And know as you go forward from this moment, you always walk in this light. We give thanks for this wonderful healing and for this time that we can spend together. Know that you can return to this sacred place of light within you at any time you choose. This flame within us is eternal, our connection to the divine, from where all love and miracles emanate. So take a deep breath. And bring your awareness back into the room that you are in. Gently move your fingers and toes, and welcome back to present time. Blessed be.
That was wonderful, Joan. Thank you again.
Very welcome.
I did not want to come back to the present time. I wanted to stay there in the sound of your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And so Joan and I will stay on the line for a few more minutes. If you want to *7 and unmute and ask any more questions or give any more feedback. I know sometimes we don't want to come back from a moment like that, and that's okay too.
Hi, Margaret.
Yes.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a little up in the air right now. Can I say thank you to Joan?
Yes.
That was wonderful. True. I've never meditated like that before, so that's great. I had a question about this kind of tapping, because this was really intense for me, whereas the last chakra wasn't.
Okay.
Is it normal to feel completely wiped out? Like, I feel like I need to go have a nap.
Yes, and that probably what it probably means. So my question for you is, how often are you probably physically tired, but you energize yourself and you keep going?
Since I've been eating a really clean diet, I'm usually okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I usually tap at night.
Okay.
Just before I go to sleep, I listen to your calls. And I usually sleep really well, but I have really weird dreams.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's a symptom of like mind venting. So I don't know if maybe that's the right time to tap.
Well, definitely it can trigger some strange dreams, absolutely, because there's two things. When we process a lot of emotion in tapping and it's intense for us, we will be wiped out afterward.
Mm-hmm.
But the second thing is that when we do some tapping and we feel really tired,
mm-hmm.
we're talking about the second chakra. So what we're sometimes feeling is, that's what my body's been trying to tell me. And sometimes I override that with my mind, especially if I'm a big achiever.
Okay.
And I go. You know, people who will say, well, I felt really tired, so I went running. And then I finished my whole workday.
Okay.
So there's the aspect of, yes, an intense tapping, because it's kind of like we're definitely reorganizing the unconscious mind around some old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're processing some old stuff so it can wipe us out. And the second part of it is tapping is going to show you and bring you more into contact with your feelings. And sometimes it's your body saying, I'm exhausted and you don't listen to me sometimes. Or sometimes it's your body saying, I have a lot of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a lot of things that don't sometimes get honored. So it's definitely can be unsettling, the second chakra, because it's your feelings and it's your sensuality and it's our passion and it's our power, you know, the way we manipulate and feel our power in relationships and in the world. There's just a lot going on there.
So you say it's better sort of to keep tapping on this, because I know there's something I'd like to, as the previous caller said, she sort of a vow that you'd like to get over. And that,
mm-hmm.
for me, that's one of I attract a lot of people that are very unkind.
Mm-hmm.
And most recently just used me. And I'd like to be able to get over that and just sort of now attract people who are loving and kind and gentle.
Yeah, so in there's two things.
Mm-hmm.
There's the judgment, right? There's sort of, have you heard of the shadow work? Tapping for your shadow?
No.
Okay. So Debbie Ford wrote a book called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers, which
right.
is all about some of the shadow work. And so what you're kind of seeing in other people is you're seeing a lot of shadow side. And of course, there's a lot of judgment about that.
Mm-hmm.
So one part of it is to do the tapping about other people in a way that really just voices in a terribly mean, obnoxious, and judgmental way what you really feel about them. And so you let it rip in the tapping. They call it, you know, tapping and ranting, where you really picture that person and you voice, I hate what you did. How dare you? It is wrong. I judge you. And when you do that kind of tapping,
mm-hmm.
It's going to take down the charge a lot more, because okay. what you've got is a vow somewhere in there to battle people like that. To attract them, find them, let them in and trust them, and then battle them.
Hmm.
And come to a place of, I can't believe it, this person, you know, of where you judge them and say, I can't believe how they've used me, how they've wronged me, I trusted them. Playing out that battle over and over again is the vow, is that I'm going to sort of battle with this. Okay?
Okay.
And so there's this law of attraction now is responding to this unresolved battle in you. So the next person gets attracted and you run through the whole scenario again. So tapping, as I said, first for the other person and your judgment about them, that's really one part of it. It's going to take down the intensity about that situation and that person. The other part of it for you is to say, even though I made a vow to battle people who are cruel, to battle the things I see in this world where people use each other, to battle people who use me, I love and accept myself. And so tap about that vow, because when you're in battle, you don't actually get to be the real you. So there's this feeling in you that it's wrong what those people are doing, but instead of embodying all that you are, your integrity, the line that you hold of kindness and goodness, and I'm going to stand up and be the role model that I want to see in the world. You get to do some of that, but you're also battling most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Attracting a battle. right? So when we're battling, we don't get to lead as a leader. When we're attracting battle and going through that whole wound again, it takes all of our energy from what you probably really want to be doing, which is empowering people, right? So there's some. So I would try. It would be interesting for you to try to do some tapping around. I made a vow to battle and to call out people who use other people, who use their power in a bad way.
That makes sense.
Okay, because if that's what you're attracting, then that's your, you know, whenever that something is sort of a pattern, it's not random. You're somehow attracting it so that you can work it through. On the other side of that is you just owning your power and you being powerful and you saying, you know what, I'm going to use my power to stand up for what is right.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of my life purpose. That's why I'm going into law.
You know, when you listen to the profile training with the charismatic leader, you want to listen to that really carefully, because a charismatic leader in you, your life is about being this hero, okay? But in the dark side of you is going to be like sort of couching your power, letting yourself being taken advantage of, and then battling the hell out of that.
Actually, that was my next question. I have listened to that call, and okay. I stuck with either rule keeper, because that is the one that most resonated with me,
mm-hmm.
and then the enforcer.
Yeah. And so the enforcer is the dark side of that charismatic leader.
Mm-hmm.
And it just means instead of being in your leader quality, you're more in your battle quality.
Okay.
Right. So you probably, people who have the two, you know, the two primaries, which is charismatic leader and knowledgeable achiever,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big energy. It's a big life calling, and they go into things like law and you know, running big businesses. It's just that we have to watch that that desire to battle.
Mm-hmm.
When you come out of battle, you get to be a total leader. And it doesn't mean that you won't choose to fight a battle that needs to be fought, but you're going to do it as a leader, not as a disempowered person.
Okay. Thank you for answering that question, because I had such issues with trying to figure out what my personality was.
Yeah, charismatic leaders never want to own that we're a charismatic leader. I think I'm all of them. That means you're a charismatic leader.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, the anger is what I resonated with probably the most, with the charismatic leader and then the enforcer. But it was that rule keeper. That's really where I think I have so many rules that I can't even count them anymore.
Yeah, and that still might come from your enforcer. It's a way you might kind of control your world and stuff. But yeah, the profiles are a really a fascinating way to look at our life, because it shows us how we go into defense, so we know kind of the themes of what to tap on. But it also shows us our potential.
Mm.
Right? When I let go of this negative place, who do I get to be? I get to be a leader. I get to be the hero of my life. Right. And that's the life purpose of the charismatic leader versus the knowledgeable achiever, which is, you know, I get to embody brilliance and perfection in this world, because I can teach the world that perfection is unfolding and new in every moment. That's the life purpose of the knowledgeable achiever, is really about achievement and mastery and excellence and teaching the world that that everyone is perfect in every moment. So it shows, the profiles will show you your life purpose and your power a little more clearly, especially if we've never played there before. I'm not a leader. I've never been a leader. Which, believe me, is what I said for 6 months. I am not a charismatic leader. I'm probably a team player, you know. I'm an engineer, so I must be a knowledgeable achiever. And it took Reese 6 months to convince me that my primary profile is charismatic leader. So it's a process. So wonderful. Thank you for that. If anyone's holding on, I want to give time for one more comment.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have a question.
Sure.
Wants for me were something that was used to torture me with. So I think I made a vow not to want, which is sort of strange. So when I decide I want something, I almost always shut it down. So is there Is it just more tapping? Is that the way to get by all this?
Yeah, so you want to get really specific, because for you, there's a little more trauma and a little more pain associated with having your wants. Okay, so yeah. you want to do some more tapping specifically around, even though it's dangerous, and I know it is, and it's true because it happened. Okay, hear all the words in there. To me, to have my wants, so I refuse to have them. I love and accept myself. It's like we want a voice without any argument. We just want a voice, that part of you that's saying, no way. I have evidence. I have reason. It's not safe. I got hurt. Okay. Right. It's like sort of that part of you that remembers the hurt. And so to tap around that, insisting that it's true, will help break it faster, you know, even though I refuse to have wants. Never, never, never. I'm never going to go there. It's not safe. And screw anyone who tells me it's safe. If you tap like that in a really loud way, it's going to help you to break it faster and to have your own, come to a place of your own perspective about it. I always recommend kind of going big when you tap.
So that's the only way to break vows?
Well, it's a combination, you know. Tapping is a fantastic technique to break something, to bring your consciousness and go, oh, my God, look what I'm doing. But it also takes, as I said earlier, you to make a goal and then put the positive use of your will around that to say, I feel that coming up in me again, and I can tap on it. Or if I don't have time, I can feel that coming up in me and say, you know what? This is the goal that I'm working on. I am going there. This is happening. I'm going to feel my feelings because I deserve it. So there's some more work there that takes a little more tenacity, because you've been practicing this for how many years, would you guess?
I'm 55, I would guess.
Okay. So you've been practicing this for a long time. And you've proven to yourself a bazillion times that it's the right way to do things. So the tapping is a great way to break it. It'll certainly accelerate the process.
Okay.
But this is a lifelong, you know, way of being for you. And it's going to feel a little scary.
Yes.
Right? So give yourself, you know, I say baby steps. When I say baby steps, it's almost like, or tap to take a baby step, people have more courage and they'll take a bigger step just because I said it's okay to take a baby step.
Right.
So, you know, telling yourself, it's okay, I can just take a baby step, will actually relax the fear a little bit more.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And don't forget that part in that goal is going to have to be something around a baby step around reaching out and expressing that real need. Okay. We can't
Oh, goody.
Right. You're going to have to tell somebody.
Oh, okay.
Because that real need.
I'm not looking forward to that one. All right. That might be my big baby step.
And that's what the chakras do, so that you feel that real need in the second chakra. And when it can be there safely without judgment, you come up to the third chakra, which is your energy center and your will center, and you say, oh, my God, this is the kind of person I am. I have this incredible need, and I've never really honored it. And then it comes up to the heart, where we come into relationship, and we say, I want to share this need with somebody. And then it comes up to the fifth chakra, where we tell someone. Okay, so the system works up. Clearing works up.
Okay.
So at some point... Yeah. See what I'm saying?
Okay, I'm going to have to breathe on all that. Tap on. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Bye.
So we're going to wrap up, everybody. We're a little bit over, but thank you again for your fearless work and going deep with me in these classes. That's the only way I roll, is to go deep. And thank you again to Joan for the beautiful way that you help us to end these classes with a different healing modality. So thank you again, Joan. And
my pleasure.
We'll talk to you all next week. Thanks, everyone.